Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Friday of the Chuck and Julie Show. My name is Darcy. For those of you who haven't joined us on a Friday before, I fill in for Chuck and Julie on Fridays, and we are about to announce that that is a permanent thing. So I'm super excited. They've been really busy with their son this summer, who's doing awesome in golf. So I will be hosting on Fridays, and then I believe moving forward also on Wednesdays. So I'm excited for today's show. We have all kinds of great guests coming on, and we're going to talk about what's going on in Manitou, what is going on with Jordan Scott. He was on last time to talk about the drag queen shows with children in Manitou Springs. And so we're going to bring Jordan back on. And then we're also going to talk to Jeremy Goodall about what's been going on in El Paso County with the effort to fight House Bill 1319 and 1315. That was how they got Vicky Tompkins off the ballot and got Lauren Nelson into office. So those are two really important topics for today. So we'll be going through all of those things. So to start with, I don't know how many of you guys have seen, Jeremy's jumping on in just a second, so I won't go too far into this next segment, but what went on with Gabe Evans yesterday, I'm going to kind of use that, or not yesterday, 2 days ago, use that to transition into Jeremy's piece, but Gabe was one of just a few Republicans in the state who voted for the amnesty bill to help make more illegal immigrants legal. This was an unprecedented move on his part. He is being slammed all over the place, like Newsmax, Fox News. He's been all in the media. What this bill does is it actually brings 2.5 million more illegal residents into legal status for amnesty, for that Dreamer status. This is absolutely ridiculous. So the fact that one of our elected Republicans went so far as to not only turn against Trump, but to go ahead and literally vote for a bill to bring more illegals in is just beyond disturbing. So we can bring Christy in, Tom, while we're waiting for Jeremy, if you're able to. So we have a lot to do in the state of Colorado. We have a lot of progress to make. And meanwhile, our elected officials are throwing our rights away left and right. Let's go ahead and bring Jeremy in and get Jeremy on the call. Jeremy, I was just talking about, if case you didn't hear, I was really just segueing into what we're going to talk about with you by bringing up the Gabe Evans nonsense from this week, being a CD8, one of the only Republicans to vote for the amnesty bill. So, yeah, really disappointing. You know, that kind of goes along with basically everything that we're seeing in Colorado, where our elected officials are weak. So, Jeremy Goodall, you're good to see you. Good to see you. It's been months since I've seen you in person. Thank you for being here. Jeremy's very active in the commissioner district that we are about to speak about, as well as El Paso County, CD5. Jeremy, welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Darcy. Yeah, I haven't seen you since you went blonde. That's quite a change.
That's a good point. It is a big change.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not seeing the same good change here in El Paso County. We just had a vacancy meeting. Cammie Bremmer, Commissioner District 5, basically announced her resignation or her intention to resign back in December of last year, then held on to that seat while then also performing job duties with an outside organization that she was then transitioning to, while waiting for Rose Puglisi and her folks up in Denver to basically change the rules and the law in regards to how vacancy committees operate, with the express intent of installing Cammie's designated successor.
Yeah. And so we know, we heard rumors about it last year that this was going on, that there was a meeting with Polis and Cammie and all the people. And it was to try to figure out how to keep Vicky and other conservatives out of office. And they succeeded. For those who don't know, that election was a tie.
Three times. And, It was three times a tie. It was a tie. Yeah. Then it went another round. It was a tie. And finally, somebody said, forget this. I want to go home, and basically withheld their vote.
Wow. Okay. So that's what happened. So Vicky lost in the fourth round by one vote.
I believe. Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm hearing that there's some kind of plan, and you know, you're always one of the people behind the scenes with these plans, and you and I like to talk late at night every once in a while about these things. What are you doing to combat the unconstitutionality of 1315 and what just happened in El Paso County? I heard there's an initiative going.
Well, I'm not aware of any initiatives on that.
Oh, yeah, I don't mean initiative per se. You know what I mean.
What's going is Vicky Tompkins has actually filed paperwork and is in the process of getting in to the vacancy special election that'll have to occur here in November. Which I believe that they actually put that into the law because they thought they were going to lose at the vacancy.
They did.
So we get to take another bite at the apple. We're going to have to be knocking doors and turning people out. It will be a very low turnout election because, one, people aren't expecting it, and two, it's a very small section of the city.
Yeah.
Within kind of downtown Colorado Springs area. And it's just going to be, do we want it more than they do?
Right. And, yeah.
We just saw, the Carmen Line annexation vote. And that was actually the pro side of that was actually Cammie's husband, Eli. He put quite a bit of money, huge amount of effort, because he's invested in that development and stood to personally gain from that annexation.
Yeah.
And the city of Colorado Springs actually voted that down 85-15.
It was crazy. I don't remember a margin like that ever in my life.
We haven't seen that. That was just an absolute curb stomping.
Yeah.
That was actually the same night that the vacancy committee meeting was held.
Yeah, it was.
It was a mixed bag that night, but you know.
It was an interesting night. So how do you feel about, you know, Lauren Nelson? We all know she's tied into the developers. This is going to be a money game come November. How are you feeling about, you know, some of the donors or some of the grassroots with their smaller donations for Vicky's ability to raise money to combat the big dollars that Lauren's coming in with?
Well, I think that's really what the fight has always been.
Yeah.
And we're in the same kind of usual, they've got the money, we have people.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, I would have to give the edge to the people because I think it's such a small turnout. Making 10 phone calls and getting another 8 people to actually go, oh yeah, and pull the thing out and fill it in. That's how it's going to win. Like whichever side does that is going to basically put their person onto the county commissioner district. And that is not an insignificant role. El Paso County is one of the most populated counties in Colorado.
Yeah.
I think we're actually the largest in terms of headcount. We're bigger than Denver population wise.
Proper. Yeah.
And we need to build a, we need to make sure that we have strong constitutional conservatives, principled people, who are not just buddy-buddy and, you know, in the pocket of the developers. They've been been running Colorado Springs for the last 30 years, especially at the local level. And then that spills into the national and state level stuff.
Well, and the school boards too. I mean, they're tied into the building of the schools, the school boards themselves. I mean, some of these El Paso County donors, their hands are in almost every single one of these school districts.
You're just like, why? Like, why does a guy who's trying to build schools, like, why does he want to make sure we have left-wing philosophies registered as Republicans running for our school board? Why are we doing that?
Exactly. I mean, so if you look at D11, and Tom, if we could bring Christy on too, that'd be great, if she can. But if you look at D11, where Lauren Nelson came out of, she was on the board of D11. It's heavily funded by donors in D11. And one of Christy, hey, Christy.
Hi, I'm just going to turn my video off because I'm doing something.
But no, you're fine. It's a hectic Friday for everybody. Christy's the chair of El Paso County Moms for Liberty. For those who don't know, I know you know that, Jeremy. D11, where Lauren Nelson was pulled out of, one of the ongoing frustrations that Christy and I have had for years is that the board can't just pass a policy, right? They created a policy committee. So the policy committee has to do all kinds of studies, and they have to okay anything before it goes to the board. And if the board wants to do something, they'll send it back to the, go ahead.
They have since disbanded that committee.
Oh, good. When did they disband it?
It was within this past school year.
Okay. So this was something that we complained about all the time, Jeremy. And, you know, this is where Lauren Nelson's coming out of. And I'll be honest with you, that committee was comprised of a couple donors. So it was a bit perverse. And I think that there were so many calls from some of the activists to shut that down because, you know, like I said, I called it a quasi board. It was a board in the way of the board.
The elected board had delegated their authority and responsibility to an unelected board.
Yes. And the unelected board was filled with people that were placed there by the previous board that was controlled by progressives, and their entire mission was to slow everything down. So if we went to the policy committee and said, we want to get this changed, it would go to the end of the list. And whoever was in charge of the policy committee was dragging their feet to make sure none of the stuff that we really wanted pushed through would ever be heard.
Oh, of course. That's the classic bureaucratic gambit.
Right. And delay, now that
delay.
And I will say that, so I've been involved in advocacy with D11 primarily when I started since COVID 2020. And
I think you muted
the good conservatives elected, Lauren being one of those candidates. Oh,
go ahead.
We can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry. I went from my car to my home. And
oh, no, you're good. Thank you for joining us in your hectic day. I know you were running around with, she was actually doing a bunch of work for this. So anyways, go ahead.
Sorry. So in 2020, during COVID, we got the board elected in 2021 is what I'm saying. Lauren was one of the board members. And immediately Dr. Thomas, the superintendent, was let go. And the diversity, equity, and inclusion department was disbanded. And the diversity, equity, and inclusion director was removed from her position, which was an amazing start out of the gate. But then it seemed like after that, everything kind of slowed down. And getting any progress was very slow in that district until very recently. And they've been doing a lot recently. They removed the equity policy finally. They removed the teachers union master agreement and a couple of other big things that they've done. But it's taken them 4 years to get this stuff done that we wanted done 4 years ago. And I mean, not to discredit D11, because they are doing great things now. And my hope is that they will continue to do great things. And with the school board election in November, if we can get some good conservative candidates on that board, like Jason yeah. Jorgensen, for instance, we might be able to push things through faster now that we have this board in place. So it's been a slow process. And then now it's all coming together and getting done. And I just hope that they've learned from that mistake and are going to push hard while we have president.
Well, and I think that's one of the mentalities that you and I and Jeremy
us now to get the stuff pushed through that we need to remove things like diversity, equity, inclusion, critical race theory, and, you know, get the Title IX stuff under control and the gender ideology under control in our schools.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
it's interesting that that devolvement to an unelected board is, I think, part and parcel with a much larger issue that's a much more pervasive issue here in Colorado at both the state and local and even at the federal level. But that's this lack of accountability to the voters and a lack of accountability to the platform of the party that brought you. And I think we're seeing that even at the state central committee meetings that are coming up. We're seeing this very just an absolute lack of accountability.
It's like a take it or leave it attitude.
It's almost like a leave it or leave it. Like they just want to just say like, yeah, go away and we'll do what we want to do.
Right.
And they have no sense of accountability. There's no sense of responsibility for the position and what they need to achieve in that role. And I think that's something that I think a lot of people are noticing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people that are in advocacy, like I am, you know, we come to these boards with knowledge. We come to them with research that we've done. Me in particular with Moms for Liberty, I'm connected nationally to 48 states. So when I get research from all across the country that has been proven to have worked in red states and sometimes in blue states. Yeah. And we come to our school boards with these problems, with these issues, with these solutions. And oftentimes we're met with immediate distrust or, you know, we have to prove ourselves time and time again. And we've proven ourselves over the past 4 or 5 years to be a reputable organization. And in our chapter in particular, I mean, we have done massive things for this county. And I hate to have to keep having long conversations to convince these people that what the solutions that we've brought forward are the correct solutions. And then it just slows the entire process down. That's the most frustrating thing for me. Like every time I get an idea or a policy or a resolution that I can push out, I have to concern myself with which boards are going to adopt it. Which one is the most likely to adopt it? Instead of trusting in the conservative elected board members that we have sitting there now. So, I mean, I have seen it getting better as some of these board members are kind of gaining strength and with the federal government on our side, but we need to get the proper people put in from the start that already have these values in line and aren't afraid to push forward the stuff that we need done right now. We need it done now. We don't need it done in 4 years.
And that's the big thing. I mean, it's the waiting and it's the delaying and the lack of accountability game. And it's the, okay, well, maybe next year it'll get better. And that's what we're seeing with Gabe Evans. That's what we're seeing with our elected officials across the state of Colorado is just this attitude that it'll get better in time. We just have to get more Republicans elected. No, we have to get more principled Republicans elected. And in order to do that, it's a cycle because, you know, there's people that, for example, I was talking to somebody on the D38 school board last week, and he's like, well, I don't want to be the one to stand up when the rest of my board is like so moderate and they're, you know, going to yell at me. Well, first of all, that you got a whole problem if you're elected and that's how you think.
Yeah.
But you know, you should just go home, go sell burgers. I don't know whatever people do when they don't be school board members. But if when you're on a board and there's people that are weak, like weakness brings more weakness. And that's where we are as a state right now. It's nobody wants to stand up. I mean, people are afraid of standing up to the trans agenda. I mean, Jordan, who's going to be on here shortly, the stuff that he is seeing and working with kids, dancing with drag queens and sex dolls on stage in Manitou. And our elected Republican, they don't even want to say anything about it because they don't want to be called a bigot. They're too afraid. And it's like, well, if you're too afraid, who's going to stand up for your kids? It's people like you, people like Christy, people like me, but who else?
If you won't, who will?
Exactly.
That's always been the case.
My thing is too, when we do stand up, they need to stand behind us. I mean, I've told some of these board members time and time again, I will be the one to take the fall. I will be the one to take the hits. Blame it on Moms for Liberty and you move forward and do it. You know, I'll be the one to distract the left. I'll be the one to distract the press. I don't mind. I don't mind standing up for kids. Yeah. That's my purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think on D11, it was, you know, it was so much red tape and so much bureaucracy for so long that I think that that's what's so unsettling about this current board of county commissioners. I mean, we lost Lajinos Gonzalez. I think he's a friend of mine, obviously, but I think he was the strongest one that was there. And now he is replaced by Corey Applegate, who seems like, I don't know what's going to happen with him. Kind of just blows with the wind. And then we've got, now we've got Lauren, who is literally part of that, part of the establishment monstrosity of, you know, pushing other Republicans down. And then we've got Wysong over in my district, who he's, you know, he fights all the gas station and that's great, but there's not a conservative leader at present on the El Paso County Board of Commissioners. There's nobody with that voice for, as you say, Jeremy, the most populous county, what's supposed to be the reddest county in Colorado. And I mean, I could see in a couple of years,
Colorado, one of the reddest counties in America,
in the country.
Like, Colorado Springs is one of the pinnacle bastion conservative counties.
Yeah.
And
except for our mayor.
Well,
and the city council, and now the county commission.
Mayor and city council, like that's always been the case, and it's been it's actually been very much a concerted effort. You understand, like the Peak Republicans. Eli Bremer, and I lay it squarely at Eli Bremer's feet. He's been involved in this stuff for like so many decades. His family's been connected for so long. You've got Bremer, you've got Wayne and Holly Williams. There's no list. There's no end to the list of folks. And under their watch, Colorado Springs has gone from being a reliable, R+35 type area to we have a Democrat mayor.
Yep.
I don't think he's officially Democrat. I think but unaffiliated, certainly not Republican.
Right. He's not Republican.
We've got a city council that is made up of people that, frankly, couldn't quote you the First Amendment or the Second, let alone the Third, Fourth, Fifth. And so on and so forth. These folks are not constitutional grounded people.
Didn't Mayor Robillard attend a 2025 Pride event and get up on stage and speak?
Yep.
That's not a Republican. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes, she went up. City Council decided not to issue a resolution for Pride this year, like they always have. And he decided to go around them and issue one from his office anyways. Because
they got him elected. Like, those are the guys who funded him.
Ask Jordan when he comes on what happened at the 2025 Pride. Ask him what happened in 2024 Pride. I mean, the sex acts openly being committed out in public, on the streets, in front of small children is recorded, and Jordan published it.
It is so gross. And I mean, that is, so that shows you who our mayor is, right? So we've got, you know, I was driving home last weekend and going under that Tejon bridge, wherever that, you know, down by Tejon. And it was maybe 10 o'clock at night and it was just filled with homeless people. And I don't mean they weren't just sleeping, you know, they're out on this, they were literally on the corners, like smoking crack. There was a naked man with a sheet over his head who, you know, and I don't say this to sound mean. He needs, they, some of these people need to be institutionalized. Like they just do. They are a danger to themselves. They're a danger to me. They're a danger to our children. And our mayor is out on the streets like, this is fine. All I care about is like tranny sex. And it's like, what? I mean, this is how far that we've fallen. And we have to start getting it back. Like, that's why, I mean, we talk about kids, we talk about counties, we talk about cities. It's not always about CD5, CD8. It's not always about the congressional districts. It's protecting those little pockets. So I'm thankful for what you're doing, Jeremy, because I know that, you know, the Vicky and that side of the party was, I mean, they were steamrolled by this. They didn't have a chance. By the time we all realized these bills were coming down, it was like, oh God.
Oh, they like, they came into force, like 2 weeks after they were, you know, issued from the committee. Yeah. It was just wham, like right there. And, I personally would love to know what Rose promised the Democrats to get her legislation passed, because that was not Republican legislation. That was Rose Puglisi's legislation. And I don't know what she had to give them to make that happen. But
at this point, I don't even think most of our Republicans have to make concessions to, you know, the Democrats like they would in some other states. I think we've fallen so far that some of these people like Rose and Kirkmeyer, they're just content to have a seat, have a title, have a name, have some power, whatever that means for the next set of elections. And yeah. In saying that, you know, does it matter if our side loses to them? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I don't think that they care to stand up for our children anymore, our municipalities. I think that it's just all about running for the next office.
Well, it's about the validation that comes from running for office. It's almost like a psychological need rather than, because it doesn't pay enough. I mean, if somebody betrays me, but then they pull up in a Maserati or a Lamborghini, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I don't agree with it. I'm still pissed, but at least I can wrap my head around you sold me out and you got something cool. You're selling us out for a name badge.
And it finally boiled up to the point where there was a huge board meeting where there was a massive presence from the left, and they went after sitting board member at the time, Ivy Liu, and they all held up newspapers that said Ivy resign, which they were permitted to do up to a certain point. So, and they were being distracting. I mean, they were holding the newspapers up. They were shaking them really loud. They were being disruptive in the meeting.
They're crazy.
And so Deb and Kelly Coles decided that they were going to go to the meeting when they were redoing the boundaries of D49 to basically gerrymander Ivy Liu out of the seat that she was in. They moved her into Jamie Lynn's district. So they were redoing the borders. So it was like controversial between the board, because there was two sides of the board that just didn't like each other. And whether or not it was gerrymandering or not, you know, we'll never know, but it ended up with Ivy and Jamie Lynn's district. So she wouldn't be able to retain her spot or run again. And so Deb and Kelly Coles went to this board meeting to hold up signs peacefully, just at their chest, real low, not just like above their heads, being very respectful. I was there.
They were.
I was sitting in the room. So that day, school was canceled. It was -2. It was snowing. So nobody shows up to this board meeting. It was just maybe two or three other people, me, Kelly, and Deb, and we're sitting in the front row. I'm sitting in between the two of them. So I know for a fact they were holding the signs and being peaceful. And John Graham was talking about the different zones and the makeup. And he kept looking over at them, and finally it just bothered him enough and boiled up enough that he exploded and said that they had to remove their signs, which they said, we're not going to do that. We have freedom of speech. We're going to
remain. A Republican board president.
We're going to remain holding our signs. And he said, we need to go into executive session. And so he storms in the back with the board and he comes out and demands that they remove their signs or he's calling the police. And then he had security escort the two ladies out into the -2 outside. And I left there alone. I was the only person in the boardroom after that.
I remember seeing the pictures of you sitting there by yourself. So they won. I mean, that's huge. I remember at the time even kind of arguing back and forth with you being like, meh.
Well, when you say they won, make it clear, because it was Deb Schmidt and Kelly Cole who pushed the lawsuit forward, and Deb and Kelly won the lawsuit.
Yeah, I'm a debt of gratitude. That is, like, that's amazing.
It's, I mean, over two years of fighting, and I'll be honest, I was like, they're going to spend so much money and then some idiot judge is going to be like, I don't care about this. Mm-hmm. And so I elated that the judge, federal. So, I mean, they had their day in court and they won, and free speech won and conservative principles won. You can't just censor people because they hurt your feelings. Like, that's so, Jeremy,
The policy is still there. Like, it's been being enforced for the past 5 years, still using viewpoint discrimination. I mean, they have the policy such that the board president gets to deem the order of the speakers. It was written in policy for a while that the board president got to decide if the person got 2 minutes or three. And if you had spoken at the last meeting, you weren't allowed to speak again at this meeting. Like, it's all a violation of viewpoint discrimination. Then they also had it broken out to which stakeholders were more important than others. So if you were a student, you got to go first. If you were a parent, then you got to go next. If you were a teacher or staff, you got to go next. Then next it was organizations like PTO, SACs, and DECs. And then after that, anybody else.
Yep.
How do you say that that student has something more important to say than, say, the teacher in category 3?
Exactly. I mean, it's like, and this is the school district that banned the Pledge of Allegiance before meetings. So this is what we're working with. Jeremy, how can people help you and help the efforts in El Paso County to turn that seat back around?
Well, if you're in the fifth county commissioner district, and that's basically kind of the central corridor, kind of right down, in between I-25 and Powers, and south of Vickers, Vickers Street. If you're in that very specific window, then you get to vote, and you get to, you know, like, be a part of it, and do not forego the opportunity to vote in this election. There's probably going to be maybe 1,500 ballots cast.
If you can
turn in neighbors and turn out friends in that area, that will change the margins. That will change the outcome.
It's only
registered Republicans and unaffiliated, because they wanted to be sure to make the non-Republicans have some voice in our selection process, because that's what Rose is about. But if you want to write a check to Vicky Tonkins, her campaign is up and running, and it's going to, you know, the beautiful thing about the grassroots is we don't need a lot of money, but we do need some.
Yeah.
Can you put that website?
They need all of the money because they don't have any people. But when we get $3 and we get that to stretch because we have people.
Yeah.
People that are passionate, people that are volunteering, people that are wanting to actually be involved.
Can you tell us how people can reach you or Vicky so that when this goes to a recording and we blast it out everywhere, that people can get in contact with you, Jeremy? I know your email, it's ibgoodall, right, at Gmail?
At Yahoo.
Yahoo, I-B-G-O-O-D-A-L-L at Yahoo. And Vicky Tonkins has a website. You can find that just by Googling her name. Yeah.
Well, and Vicky's email is probably more direct, but that's Vicky at VickyTonkins.com.
There you go.
Like Vicky at Vicky Tonkins. That.
Yes.
And that's probably the easiest way.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to help in that district, because we have to, El Paso County is so important. Get in contact with Jeremy or just message one of us. We'll get you in contact with Jeremy. Jeremy, I want to have you back on in a couple of weeks to continue talking about what's going on in El Paso County and integrate you into some of the Space Command stuff as well. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Jeremy, it's nice to see you again.
Yeah,
have a good weekend, Jeremy. Let's bring on Jordan if we can so we can get straight into the Manitou mess and get Christy to weigh in on the man. How are you doing, Jordan?
Good. How are you?
You look so nice as usual. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So Jordan was on the show last week when you were out of town, Christy, and he talked about, he let everybody know, you know, you've seen the footage from Manitou, and then he went back and he has found more. So Jordan, tell us what's going on in Manitou.
Yeah. So I was back just yesterday, actually, for the Good Trouble March. As some of you may have heard, we were going to try to let the city council know what was going on at the local Pride celebration. And we went out to the meeting on Tuesday night. Unfortunately, they said we were out of order and we were not allowed to speak. So we're going to go back on August 1st and we're going to prep a little bit more, get signed up a little bit earlier. And we're going to speak. We're going to make sure our voice is heard. But unfortunately, it wasn't heard on Tuesday night. But what we did hear is talk of this DEI proclamation that was issued on March 4th. It's Manitou, it's proposal 0225. And Manitou City Council unanimously voted this in. It's a DEI proclamation to recognize Manitou Springs' commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we heard about this. They mentioned a rally alongside it that they were promoting and saying they were going to be at, and they were all going to march up from Manitou City Council Hall, the City Hall, to Soda Springs Park with this quote-unquote Good Trouble rally. I never heard of Good Trouble before, the Good Trouble rally before, but there was a group of people there that were from what looked to be Indivisible, and they joined in with them. There's a lot of anti-Trump sentiments, and they all marched up to Soda Springs Park, where they officially issued the proclamation to the city on the stage, and the mayor helped read that along with the rest of the city council after the mayor had given a little speech saying how much he didn't like Trump.
Oh, I didn't even catch. So the mayor of Manitou first talked about how he doesn't like Trump and then introduced the DEI resolution.
Yeah, and I'm going to post the clips of that. And the crazy thing is, I didn't see any media covering this there. There might have been, not, you know, no mainstream media that I could see that was making themselves known. No cameras, no big cameras, nothing. But I wrote some notes down here. So basically what he said, and these are quotes, that when you're asked to do a 5-minute speech that involves Donald Trump, you realize you need 45 minutes to complain. He went on to say Donald Trump is malignant, incompetent, and vile, stating that his administration represents a great danger to our country. So, they read this DEI proclamation. They're saying things like, you know, fill our minds and hearts with the resolve to be everything that he is not. So this is all anti-Trump from what I could see. DEI related. When I went to the Colorado Springs Good Trouble March, I saw a lot of anti-ICE stuff out there.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's a blending of this intersectionality.
So let me get this straight. Trump is a danger to our country, but kids dancing with sex dolls is okay.
Well, that's the thing is when they spoke of this thing that was happening on Tuesday, one of the city council members praised the Pride celebration before we could even talk about it. And the mayor himself said something to the effect of he thought that it was a great use of the permits. So we really do hope that we can get out there and educate them on what's truly going on. Because if I remember right, I don't even think the mayor was actually there. So they're just going maybe off of what they hear. But it needs to be seen. People need to know, because the only people that really know what's going on, it seems like, are the people that are showing up that support it. You know, not common sense people that would look at something like this objectively and say, this isn't right.
Right, right.
It's
no, exactly.
They're afraid. These people are mentally insane. They're violent and they're insane and crazy. So normal common sense people aren't going to show up to something like that.
Right.
They're afraid.
And remind me, Chris, I mean, I know the answer to this, but there's not one conservative on Manitou, right? Isn't it a total woke joke in their schools?
Yeah. Okay. Jordan, did you hear anything while you were there about any of this being pushed into the school district of Manitou?
You know, I can't really recall anything specifically. But I will say, just real quick, when I went out to Pride, one thing that encouraged me is I saw three Manitou high school students that were there, one that was on the city, the student council in particular, that were preaching the gospel, and they had a Bible, and they got kicked out twice by the Manitou police, they said. So they were supposed to be there that night, but they, I don't think they were, unfortunately. But, you know, there's so much going on, and I do believe this reaches in the schools, especially in Manitou, but it's good to see young people coming out against this.
Yeah. And I'm seeing more and more of that too. And when you were there a couple years, or not a couple years ago, when you were at not Oscar Blues, what's the other weirdo place that everyone goes?
Oh, La Burla B Cabaret.
Yeah, La Burla B. So when you were there a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, whenever it was, you had some really interesting footage, and it was so depressing. I mean, there was this child sitting there with this weird music in the middle of the day, sitting next to like nipple clamps. And then his mom was sitting there like kind of just watching people dance. And it was so gross. But
there was nobody else in the room. It was so weird.
Oh, so gross. And one of the people that was there as part of Parasol Patrol, who you encounter very often, one of the people that was there and who was instrumental in holding up those rainbow umbrellas to shield kids from us conservatives who aren't making them do sexual dances.
As they walked children into a strip club.
Correct. They walked children into... one of those Parasol Patrol women is now running for school board in D38, where I live, where Christy lives, so up north in the Monument, Palmer Lake, Black Forest area. And as of right now, there's nobody running against her. So it's pretty disturbing. So when Monument Academy passed a resolution to, combat the trans agenda in schools, she and her husband were out there protesting alone on the streets. Like nobody else in Monument was going to do that. And she's now running unopposed. And I think that speaks really highly about not only what's going on, but probably a fear right now of conservatives like running against these people, because man, I mean, they are militant. Like Christy said, they're crazy. That's why we call them Transtifa. I mean, they are an army, and it's no longer, of course, we all know what autogynephilia is. We know why they're turned on when they dress in their clothes. We know that they groom kids. But it has turned into a political movement. I mean,
and the teachers union is backing these candidates with millions of dollars in this election.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, we're seeing, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we're now seeing men that are like, I'm going to be trans just so I can fight this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing a decrease in masculinity. We're seeing people just cave in general. But what I will say is the Parasol Patrol, you know, we've done 3 years of research on this group, and they are growing nationally. Here locally, we haven't seen the leadership on the scene lately because they've been going through some stuff. But the reality is this is a militant group. It's an Antifa model. They take their work right out of the Antifa playbook. And we like to call them Antifa light because, you know, Antifa, they come out with these black block uniforms and they're all in black. And it sometimes scares people. But the Parasol Patrol. Yeah. So the Parasol Patrol is like the candy colored version of Antifa. But if you look at the tactics with the umbrellas, they use black umbrellas, Parasol uses rainbow. It's the same tactics.
Yeah, it's the exact same tactics.
We were testifying against 1312. I mean, they were pushing people, they were spitting on us, elbowing us in the back, waiting for us in the halls.
Eli Bazan, I was there that day capturing some stuff, and Representative Brandi Bradley was verbally attacked by Eli Bazan, and he was escorted out of the Capitol on one of those days of the hearing of 1312. I'm trying to remember which one, but he was trespassed for the day from the Capitol because he was just standing in the hall and yelling basically obscenities or some type of profanity towards a representative. So I don't even know that he was there to testify, but this is what they do. You know, yeah, they say they're doing one thing and they come and they do another.
I was out in Durango not too long ago for a meeting. That was the meeting where, Christy, you remember this, where they voted to sanction BLM and trans flags as pride speech or as protected speech. And there was, I mean, they've now devolved into like not just men who want to dress like women. They're dressing like full blown animals and like animals that don't even make any sense. And so they're bringing their kids into this nonsense. Like there was a guy standing right above me on a huge rock, like a 6 foot tall man that had a tail and he had ears and he had, of course, a mask because they all wear masks because masks are just a symbol of communism now. And so it's so sick. I mean, and it's like the general population is like, well, I don't want to be called this and I don't want to be called that. So I don't want to speak up. Okay. No, it's time to speak up. When people are walking around in public with tails and masks and, you know, they're fetishizing kids, it's time. We have fallen so far, and we need people to run against these crazies.
We're just seeing them on the street with their children. Can you imagine what's going on behind closed doors? I mean, Jordan got a peek inside what was happening with, what was it, something pancake? What was the situation there?
Oh, yeah. Smoke of the pancake. So that's the child that we captured in Manitou Springs on stage with the blow up doll sex toy. But Smoka was performing. I don't even like to refer to this child as that, but they were this little boy was performing at Colorado Springs Pride just before that. And then that night, I believe it was, or after Manitou, we have the pictures of that child performing in the basement of La Burla B. Yeah. And I'll tell you, these pictures don't look good. And the reality is that this is a mental illness. And if somebody else isn't going to say it, then I'll say it. Yep. And what's happening is they are inducing mental illness into these kids because they have a mental illness themselves.
Yeah. It's indoctrination. I mean, what these kids are enduring behind closed doors, can you imagine what they're enduring when what we see outwardly is a little boy doing an exotic dance? How did he get taught to do that? Right. What was he watching behind closed doors? Who was showing him that? That's, I mean, there's got to be other things. They have to be being molested. This is, I mean, It's why awful. Aren't these people being investigated is the thing. It's
they should all be being investigated because they're all displaying a sexual fetish in front of their children. And it's not just the parents, you guys. Like, look what Scott Shamblin found a couple of months ago when he attended the training camp for that, or the training session for that camp up in Boulder, that children's sex camp. They were like, we're going to discuss sex toys and we're going to watch porn together. And when the kids are done and their parents come pick them up, they can show the parents what they learned. What? I mean, these people should be locked in cages.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. And especially at these youth homeless shelters, which we're looking into as well, the majority of them, at least here in the Springs, everything we could find seemed to be LGBT related. And, you know, we even talked to one here locally and he basically said, you know, do we have a lot of LGBT stuff posted around? Do we maybe influence the kids a little bit?
Yeah. Yes,
but it's all about love.
But that's not what it is.
It's not about love.
No,
it's about indoctrination. We're running out of time. I know we've been talking a lot about what's happening in Manitou Springs, and there's a lot of people talking about the problems. We've been working on a solution in across the state of Colorado, and one place in particular that we have a solution is Manitou Springs. I've been in contact with attorneys, and we are working up a lawsuit against Colorado, and we are looking for parents or teachers or anybody whose speech has been chilled within a school district when it comes to violations of Title IX and Title VI around gender ideology. So if anybody's child has been forced or compelled to share a locker room or any sport with the opposite sex or been forced to call people by other pronouns, please reach out to me because we need you as a plaintiff. This is a pro bono case.
Yeah.
So you will not incur any fees, and it'll help the entire state of Colorado overturn some of this stuff. We are working on solutions. We're not just talking about problems.
We'll do our best to connect you with people we find, Christy. Thank you for what you're doing.
Okay.
Thank you for what you're both doing. I mean, you're both doing two totally different things, but you're both working to save our kids just all over the state. And it's so important. And Jordan, if you're out and you're meeting people and, you know, they're disgusted with what's going on, send them to Christy. And Chris, I mean, you guys have been working together for years. And, you know, like I said, there's other people kind of in this arena now, but we've got to uncover it. And Jordan, you know, we should all be probably working together because, like, let's be honest, the Colorado GOP has not said one thing about school board candidates. We're about to be in August. You know, when I worked for the party, we had a full list of here's who we're helping, here's who we support, even in Denver. And now there's not even a word. So people like us, I guess, you know, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and help with that too, because again, we're kind of being buried by like these establishment Republicans, the Lauren Nelsons, the Roses, the people that don't want to do anything. And we can't just lie down and take it. So I think that as the months progress, people like us will probably, unfortunately, be involved in the school board elections very heavily again. And Christy probably has some news coming about that in the next couple of weeks, where she's working on some great things with the elections. But I'm just thankful for all you guys do. Jordan, did you see anything this past week that was different or like notable as what you saw your last visit?
Well, I'd say the thing that I noticed was a boldness to proclaim this defiance to what Trump's doing, the anti-DEI.
Oh, okay.
They mentioned several times that they're proud. Okay. They're proud of their inclusive town. You know, they've related it to Pride. But one thing I saw this year at Pride specifically was a lot more stripping and really getting down to like a bare naked body, and not bare naked, but almost with G-strings and thongs that, you know, what you'd only see these performances in an adult club. I don't know where else you would see them besides an adult club, but yet these are family friendly.
And I don't want to cut you off. We'll talk more about it next week. But thank you for dropping that, Jordan. We'll get that out tonight on all the media. We were a little bit late coming in, so we're going to have to close. Thank you guys both for all. Thank you, Jordan. You guys go look at Jordan's work. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. Thank you both for all you do. Can't wait to have you on again. And we'll talk this weekend.
Thanks. Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.